In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The text for our consideration today is the Revelation text, chapter 21, verses 9 through 14, and 21 through 27. But I'd like to start out in this discussion about this glorious bride, the wife of the Lamb. What is that all about? Again, we have to be reminded that our lectionary readings and our worship throughout the year take us through the salvation plan. It reveals to us completely what we couldn't know about the things, even the creation, even the things about God. When God created all of heaven and earth, he says through Paul in the book of Romans that men are without excuse because God has revealed his power and his Godhead. By looking at the creation, we know that there's a creator. But that's where it stops. Then God had to give us further revelation, the Word of God, in order for us to know the full salvation plan that he lays before us. Last week, our gospel told us about the coming of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would come into the world to do three things. He would convict the world of sin. And the reason that they were sinning, that the world was in sin, was because they did not believe in him. In other words, they had rejected the gospel. And the gospel is the word of the Father to a fallen world, that I love you and I've sent my Son to you. Listen to him. But the world rejected that. The second thing that the Holy Spirit would do was to convict the world of righteousness. Again, why righteousness? Because Jesus says, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The day the first Adam was expelled from the garden, there that cherubim, that fiery cherub with the sword, stopping the way for sinful man to enter into that presence and communion with God ever again until the promises of God had been completed in Christ Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, he says, it is finished. What he had promised in Genesis 3:15 to send that seed into the world, the last Adam came. And hanging upon that cross, he spoke those words, it is finished, to telestai. And he gave up the spirit. God justified that righteous man's death by raising him in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then commissioning his church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then, as this Thursday, the ascension, he rose up into the sky to go to the right hand. And you know, when he was going to the right hand of that Ancient of Days to sit there until he's put all of his enemies under his feet, the last one was death itself. But this last Adam, when he came out of that grave and he's going to that right hand of the Father on high, that cherub that was in the garden that held that sword and stopped sinful man in the flesh from ever entering there, that cherub, when he saw the King of Glory, he opened the gates and that cherub took a knee as the King of Glory entered back into paradise to sit there and reign until God has put an end to all of the evil and the rebellion that Lucifer and the angels with him had brought upon God's creation. I love that picture in the Psalms. Lift up, O you gates, lift up that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty in bodily form. What a wonderful picture. And then, of course, that's number two. But number three, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of judgment. Why is this? Because the ruler of this world is judged. One thing that has, in this modern world, that has been absent from the pulpits of Christianity throughout the world is this whole concept of this rebellious host that brought the world into this broken condition that it is, the presence of evil. But the Holy Spirit is not only going to convict the world of sin because they don't believe the promises of the Father to send the Christ, that Christ then would ascend back into paradise where no man could go. But the prince of this world is judged. Who was the prince of this world? Lucifer, when he took Adam's dominion. Adam was the king and the prince of all of God's creation before the fall. He was the Lord of glory in the earth. He was given the power and the dominion over all the works of God's hands. And Lucifer, in his pride, says, I won't submit to that. And he attacked mankind. The devil only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, is the way, the truth, and the life. He has restored the image and likeness of God lost in the original Adam to us who believe the gospel, who find our place in abiding in the Lamb, cleansed by his blood. Our Revelation text today begins with this. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the last seven plagues. You see, because of Lucifer's rebellion, God had promised to crush the head of that serpent through the seed that would come through the woman. These last plagues are on that kingdom of darkness and that abomination who has led all of creation into bondage. But God is going to settle the score. He has redeemed his people from the earth. Exactly at the day of Pentecost that we're coming to is the festival given to Moses. And it was the festival of the harvest, the first fruits. It was a type that pointed that one day God would reap a harvest of righteousness back to him of all the souls from both Israel and the Gentile nations. What a wonderful festival it is. It's a picture. That's why our liturgical year so beautifully pictures this promise of God to restore his creation back to its original glory. But it is a promise God has made. He will judge because the prince of this world has been judged. The angel that had these bowls is now taking John a little further into the spirit. And he's taking him to show him this marvelous picture. He says, come, saying, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. You see, the church is a spotless, without wrinkle or blemish bride, washed by the word of God, the power of the gospel. And Jesus had said one time, I go to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. And if I go, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you. But I go, that where I am, there you will be also. This new spiritual bride is like we're one flesh union as man and wife joined together. There's a spiritual, there's a connection, there's a communion that we cannot understand in this broken world. But this beautiful bride that has been prepared through the gospel and all the judgments against the evil one has been completed. Now this beautiful bride is like in a wedding, is descending down the aisle in all of her glory. This one coming down from heaven, where heaven and earth can be one again as it was in Eden. The glory of God shines forth from her in brilliance. Her light, it says, was like most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know, we live in a world that has so fallen away from God. Even the statistics amongst the church, that the church is no different in the divorce rate, the abortion rate, the whatever it may be. The church has gone the way of the world. It has not abided in sound doctrine. And so even no matter what the bride is and what kind of life she's lived, they still come into the church. As defiled as their life has been, she'll still put on a white dress, mocking the things and the purity of this bride in all of its picture. But she comes down like that glorious bride coming down the marriage aisle, coming to the groom. Here's the characteristics about how this bride became what she is. In verse 12, it says, "And also she had a great high wall with 12 gates. These gates are gates of pearls, one pearl for each gate. Three gates on each side, facing the north and the south, the east and the west. And this is the 12 tribes of Israel that have made up this bride. What was Israel? Israel was the first gospel people to proclaim the true and living God and the promise of that restoration. Jerusalem sat in the midst of that nations as it was. Her gates, three of them, were open to every nation all over the world to flow into, to find salvation, and a God that forgives from the fall. Her gates were open to all. Unfortunately, Israel sometimes failed at that mission to be a gospel proclaimer. But Jesus, even when he went in and called her back to repentance, when he entered into the temple, he says, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. God takes glory in his church, in his Old Testament Israel. But it didn't stop there. The wall around this city also had 12 foundations. Those foundations were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. No one enters that city. No one is a part of that city except by believing and abiding in the orthodox apostolic faith of Jesus Christ, the true and right gospel. That's why we confess in the creed here every Sunday that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It was the apostles' task, commissioned by God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go into all the nations and make disciples. And when this glorious bride, this new Jerusalem, the holy Jerusalem, comes down, the nations that will stream into it, listen to this, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. You know, Jesus said that just before his second coming, there would be times that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be war and famine and pestilence. That first word there, nation against nation, what's the difference between nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom? Of course, in the Greek, that first one is the condition of the world will be nation against nation. The Greek is ethnos. It really should be translated race and ethnicity against race. Race warfare throughout the world. Are we living in those times? You bet there is. There's never been a time where wars were completely over skin color or the ethnicity, like those who have tried to exterminate the Jewish nation for over 2,000-3,000 years. No. Ethnos wars. We're seeing it now. But these nations will come in. They will bring, because the gospel goes out to every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. And it has the power of redemption. It draws the people into the loving arms of God, who promised he would save them from that brutal enemy that attacked them. And he is faithful to his promises. But take heed to the last sentence in our text today. These words are true and right, and everybody needs to take inventory of their spiritual house, because these words will not pass away. Verse 27 of our Revelation text. But there shall be by no means enter in to what? This city that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing that defiles, nothing that is an abomination or a lie. You only need to read through the scriptures a little bit to understand God's definition of all three of those terms. Those things that defile, those things that are abomination, and those things that are a lie. Just an example. Proverbs 6 tells us, these six things the Lord hates. Do you know God hates? It says here, he does. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and anyone who sows discord among the brethren. Those are abominations to the Lord. And also, if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. In other words, they will not enter into that city. None of those who practice any of those things will be a part of that city. God was serious how much he loved you. He promised to redeem you. And so just like in the festival of Lent, in the season of Lent, what is the message to us? Repent and believe the good news. Turn to God because he is faithful in his promise to redeem you. And once you're in his hands, he will never, ever let you go. But take serious his warnings because nothing impure will be a part of that eternal city. Amen.